Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to our studies on simple truths for the believer. We have been discussing for the past few lessons what we have received through Christ in his work on the cross for us. And today we are following through on this great lesson of the difference between eternal life or salvation and rewards. A great many of God's people become mixed up on this question between salvation and rewards. Salvation is a free gift. Rewards are for service, for ministry. Salvation is a present possession. Rewards are yet future. Salvation is given to us on the ground of pure sovereign grace received by simple faith. Whereas these other things have to do with our experience, our life, our service for him. In our last lesson, we were discussing this question of rewards, and I was speaking of the fact that every Christian must stand before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, not for salvation, but for rewards. It is true that every believer, let me change that, all believers are not going to be crowned. Some will be crowned, but all will have praise of God. You find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. All will have praise of God. But I would like to have it very clear in your mind that the moment you took Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were saved with a salvation that's perfect and eternal, complete. The experience of it in its fullness will not be until we in his presence conform to his image. But he does encourage us to live for him, to work for him. And every phase of a believer's life is governed by a crown. Now, in our last lesson, we were discussing the fact that the crown of life is given for believers enduring temptation. Now, you find that in James 1:12. Allow me to repeat. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Or Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. Now, this, of course, is commonly known as the martyr's crown. In fact, in the first 2 centuries of the Christian church, Christians went to their death rejoicing, singing the praises of Jesus, knowing they were going to be crowned with a crown of life. The second crown we spoke of was the crown of joy and rejoicing. And we quoted from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, and together with Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. And Paul is declaring that these Thessalonian believers and the Philippian believers, whom he had led to the Lord, he led these Thessalonian believers out of idolatry to a Savior. And he could say with great joy, I not even ye my crown of joy and rejoicing at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now the third crown that I want to speak of is the crown of righteousness. And the crown of righteousness covers purity in your life. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, we read, And everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The one who believes in the coming of the Lord must also, if it's real, it'll purify his life. Now, Paul did not say, and allow me to say this, Paul did not say that the crown of righteousness was for those who believed in the coming of the Lord, but for those who loved his appearing. A friend of mine, who was one of the finest preachers in the South, was asked one time a question by a visiting Bible teacher who said to him, "Well, do you love the appearing of the Lord?" His answer was, "Why, I preach the coming of the Lord." He said, "I didn't ask you that question. I asked you, do you love his appearing?" But you know, that was an arrow in his heart. He went home and he spent the night studying his Bible and praying on this question, asking himself the question, "Do I love his appearing?" When he got through, he came to the conclusion that he had not loved his appearing, but he would now live in daily expectation of the coming of the Savior. Do you know, it transformed his life and transformed his ministry. Do you love his appearing? I know if I were to ask you individually, those of you who love the Savior, who believe in the coming of the Lord, do you believe that? You say, "Of course I do. I believe that for years. Of course I want the Lord to come. I know he's going to return. I want him to come." Do you love his appearing? Do you want the Lord to come to get you out of your troubles? Do you want the Lord to come to get you out of your predicament? Do you want the Lord to come so you can get away from the thing you're in? Or do you want the Lord to come because you love him? Not the gifts, not even the transformation that will be yours, but just to see him whom, having not seen, you love. Everyone who has this hope, the hope of seeing Jesus face to face, purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know, my friends, may I say that the truth of the coming of the Lord is one of the most precious, purifying hopes we have in the Bible. It's one of the greatest incentives to a holy, righteous life. If I really knew the Lord was coming today, would I change my program? Would you? If you knew for certain that Jesus Christ was coming tonight, would you change your program for the day? Or are you living in daily anticipation and expectation of seeing him whom, having not seen, you love? I say, it's a very, very practical thing, this truth of the coming of the Lord. And everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So you see, the crown of life governs endurance in tests and trials. The crown of joy governs this question of soul winning. The crown of righteousness governs this matter of holy living. Now, the fourth one, we read of the crown of glory. You find this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, where we read here of the question of the coming of the Lord, especially to under-shepherds. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read this, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you." And he goes on to speak of the under-shepherds, "not to lord it over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now, the crown of glory is for faithful ministry. Not lording it over God's people, not being an autocrat over God's people, not serving for money's sake. And you know, there are those, whether you believe it or not, there are those, quite a few of those, who serve the Lord because they love him, irrespective of the monetary thing that might be involved. I hate to say that, but I'm going to say it because it comes here in this verse. The crown of glory is for the faithful servant of the Lord who does it because you love God and love his people. It's a crown of glory that fadeth not away, never fades, crown of glory. And then the fifth one, an incorruptible crown. Now you find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this governs our own personal lives, the governing of the lusts and desires of the flesh. And Paul, you remember, starts talking about, don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. See, Paul was talking to this Corinthian church, and he said, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Don't you know that they which run in a race, they all run, but one, only one, receiveth a prize? So run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's disciplined. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. We do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I as one that beateth the air. But I keep unto my body, I keep my body in subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall not be disapproved. Now the King James Version says a castaway. It means being disapproved when I stand before the bema. You see, in those early days, when the runners in the great Olympic Games, they stood before the bema before they started the race. Every man was judged on two or three grounds. Each one had to be a real Greek, a pure Greek. Nobody else could run in the Grecian Games. Later on, in the Roman Games, they had to be a Roman. The second thing was they must owe no man anything. They must not be in debt, to be troubled with debts. And the third thing was they had to keep the rules of the game for 9 months. They had to live a disciplined life. And if they had not kept the rules, they were not allowed to run in the game. Now they run. They put aside every hindrance, everything that would hinder them, and they run the race. What for? Just to get a laurel wreath, a corruptible crown, which just used for a day and perish in a day. But to win the game, you were honored for a whole year. And no one could run in that race unless they had kept the rules. Now, Paul is using this as an illustration that we must discipline ourselves. We, too, are in a race, and our bodies must be disciplined. And for me, says Paul, to teach somebody else to keep their body in subjection, keep down the desires and lusts of the flesh which would dishonor the Lord. And if I don't do it, if I don't keep my body in subjection when I come before the judgment seat of Christ, I will be disapproved. Oh, friend, let me tell you this. Every one of us must stand in the presence of God. We must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What you do, is it going to be wood, hay, or stubble? Or is it going to be gold, silver, or precious stones? You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I must try and earn one of those. Well, let me just say this to you. The amazing thing is that if you try to live to get a crown of life, the chances are you'll fail because you'll be occupied with yourself. All these five crowns, the crown of life, the crown of joy, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the incorruptible crown, governs every phase of our lives. But how are they to be obtained? Could I put it this way? Even the grace of God is involved in this. God rewards every believer who will let him live out his life through the believer. As Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. I strive according to the working of him who worketh in me mightily. In other words, may I say that as I yield myself, as we yield ourselves to God, that he might live his life through us, then we will be steady in times of trial, and thus the crown of life. And when you're in love with the Savior, you're going to be compassionate toward people. And hence you'll want to lead them to the Savior. Hence the crown of joy and rejoicing. And if I'm living in continual daily anticipation and expectation of loving His appearing, I receive a crown of righteousness. And that looking, that loving His appearing will have a great effect on my life for purification. And if I'm a faithful under-shepherd, feeding the flock of God, having tenderness and love and compassion for God's people, even in their failures, I receive a crown of glory. And if I keep my body in subjection, as Paul could say literally, I beat my body black and blue, that I might not be disapproved when I stand before Him, the incorruptible crown. I repeat it, every phase of our lives is governed by a crown. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I were to be crowned and then to throw the crowns at His feet and crown Him Lord of all? Unless you might become discouraged, may I also tell you that in Corinthians chapter 4, you remember Paul speaks of the fact in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, it's not a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment or man's day. I know nothing of myself. And then in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, will manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall everyone have praise of God. Even though you may not be crowned, you'll be full of praise. He will rejoice in your presence. As Jude 24 says, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding great joy. Now in closing, may I give you one little simple illustration from the Old Testament of all that I've been saying. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, in that brief chapter of Zechariah, the writer says, I saw Joshua the high priest standing before God, and Satan at his right hand to resist him. Now Joshua stood before God in filthy garments, and the voice said, take away his filthy garments from him. Put him on a new gown, a new garment. Take away his sins. And he goes on to say what God's going to do with him. He's going to give him a place among these who stand by. And then he adds, if you do certain things, I'll do certain things. In other words, the first part of the chapter, you've got this wonderful fact of salvation, free, and then you have the offer of rewards. So you have in chapter 3 of Zechariah. He said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Take away the filthy garments from him. And he said to Joshua, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment, put a mitre upon his head. And so they did. And then he protested to Joshua, saying, if you do certain things, if you walk in my ways, if you do keep my charge, then I'll do something else for you. Salvation is free and eternal and complete. And He rewards us as we yield ourselves to Him and let Him live out His life through us. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you and I today and in the days to come just let the Lord take over in our lives? Oh, how we have failed Him because we wanted to do it ourselves. We wanted some of the glory. Now let's live today for the glory of God. A love for Christ, yes, and a compassion for people, yes. Manifested to the glory of Christ and for the salvation of souls. The Lord bless you now for His name's sake.